Up there, can you believe it? Today starts in the church the official beginning of the Christmas season. We just got done with Thanksgiving, right? And we are jumping full force into getting ready for Christmas. And the Christmas season is filled with words, some of the words that you heard up there. But in the church, we have our own language. We have our own words. We have words like holy and Advent. And we have words like preparation and anticipation. Words like revelation, incarnation, and celebration. Words that help us to prepare for the Christmas season. Well, in your bulletin was this word search that we're going to be evolving throughout this message series during the month of December, looking at some of the Christmas words. And so if you want to take this home, and please don't do it while I'm talking, but if you want to take this home and look for the words that you can find on here right now, there's 21 Christmas words on here, and words that I think are going to help us as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the Christmas season. And we're going to kick this off with the word preparation. It's highlighted in blue. It's a little bit tough to see, and so I circled it on your bulletin, but the idea of preparation, preparing ourselves for Christmas. Some of you, when that video went up, I kind of felt like I heard this collective sigh, like, oh. But it wasn't a sigh like, yay! It was a sigh like, oh. Because you might be going into the Christmas season with a little bit of dread. You might be going into the Christmas season thinking it's just come a little bit too quick. You might be coming into the Christmas season already hoping and wishing that it would be the end of the Christmas season because it drives you crazy. My hope is that by the time we get done with this message series that begins today and works its way through Christmas Eve, is that you will be so prepared, so ready to celebrate the most magnificent event where God changed the world by stepping out of heaven and stepping onto earth in this little baby whose birth that we celebrate at Christmas called Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to prepare yourself to get ready to celebrate Christmas. Don't be the Scrooge. Don't be thinking bah humbug. Be the people who are getting ready and preparing yourself to celebrate Christmas. And so today we want to talk about what that means. What I hope to do is, I think, give you some really practical things that might help you, that helps me to prepare myself, to prepare yourself for Christmas so that it truly is a celebration. So there might be a word for you today. I hope there is, because the Bible has a lot to say about preparation. It has a lot to say about getting ready to celebrate and celebrate the Christmas season. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah began speaking words of hope into a people called Israel, began to prepare them for this event that was going to change the world, began prophesying what God was going to do to redeem his people, getting them ready, getting us ready to understand that God's not done yet, that God had this magnificent plan that he was working out so that the world might come to know him. And so between the years of 740 and 690 BC, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words to get us ready for Christmas. He says, listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. The prophet Isaiah was telling the people, get ready. Now, they would have understood what this was because when a king was coming into town, literally they did what this passage says. They straightened out the curves. They flattened the hills and the mountains. They did everything they could to make the movement of the king from where he was to where he was going as smooth as possible. And so it took a lot of preparation, a lot of prep work. I don't know if you've ever kind of Googled, what does it look like when the president comes to town? I did that to just see the magnitude of the number of planes and 600 telephone lines that need to be set up, and the president's limousine that has to be sent in, a helicopter that is sent in ready, another armored vehicle that they use as a potential battering ram if they need to, the staff, the reporters, the hospitality people, that this is a big event that they prepare for the president to come to town. He doesn't just say, hey, I want to go to Louisville today. But there's a lot of prep work that's involved to do that. Well, the people of Israel knew what that was like because they prepared for the coming of the king. And Isaiah has these words to his people saying, the king is coming. And it's a new king. And we got to get ready. We got to flatten out the mountains. We got to straighten out the curves. We got to smooth out the road because the king is coming to town. And so he encourages us and he asks us, so are you ready? Have you prepared yourself sufficiently for the coming of Jesus? Now, my guess is a lot of you spent a lot of time preparing this last week to celebrate Thanksgiving. You bought your turkey, you did the dressing, you did all that stuff, and you decorated your house, and you got it all ready because you wanted it to be a fun, special family event, right? And some of you are already thinking now, hey, okay, now we got to put all that fall stuff away, and now we got to get the Christmas stuff out and to decorate our house. Well, we did that last week, so we're ready. Our house is kind of like, it's in this crazy place of it's like half fall and half Christmas. And so we're kind of in this place of both, and we'll finish flipping the rest of the house and getting it all ready to celebrate Christmas in the next coming days. And so we are preparing ourselves. We began preparing ourselves about a month ago when we started listening to Christmas music at the beginning of November. And you should do that too. And if you find yourself being like, I'm so sick and tired of Christmas music, then you need an attitude check. Because Christmas music is talking about the greatest event that changed the world. We should be singing Christmas music every single day. And so we got to prepare ourselves. We got to get ready to celebrate this Christmas event. So as the prophet Isaiah says, get ready, the king is coming to town. Then we shift forward about 300 years to the prophet Malachi, who had some amazing words for his people because he was trying to speak some truth into the life of Israel, where God had gotten to the point where he was literally saying, I don't even want your stinking worship because you are not worshiping me in spirit and in truth. You are not honoring me. You are not adoring me. You are not recognizing me for who I am. But in the midst of that, he begins by saying, for the Lord, I have always loved you. That's a word for us. That the Lord looks at us, you and me, and every person who ever was, ever is, or ever will be. I love you. And I want to do things in your life. I want to give you the most amazing gift that is life. Eternal, everlasting, forever and ever. And it begins the moment you say yes to me. So the prophet Isaiah, before he begins, in a sense, both rebuking and challenging the people of Israel, he wants them to know. He wants them to know for sure that the Lord loves them, that the Lord loves us, and has great things in store for us. He did not have to come at Christmas. He did not have to step out of heaven and step onto earth for us. He did not have to be the God who forgives us of our sin, who makes us right. He could have just left us alone to our own bad choices. But God didn't do that, because our God always takes the initiative. He comes ahead of us. And Malachi wants us to know first and foremost that the Lord loves you. But then look what he says. In chapter 3, verse 1, again, this is written 470 to 460 BC in that time frame. He says, look, I am sending my messenger, speaking for the Lord, and he will prepare the way before me. Circle that word, prepare. We've got to prepare ourselves for the celebration of Christmas. If we don't prepare, it's just going to breeze on by us. And it's too big and too great, and we don't want Christmas to just breeze on by us. We need to prepare. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you look for so eagerly is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So the prophet is speaking for God, saying, prepare the way. Prepare the way. Can you say that? Prepare the way. That we got to get ready for celebrating Christmas. That means there's things that we need to do that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. And maybe there's some stuff that you need to not do to prepare yourself for Christmas. And we'll talk about some of those as well. Isaac Watts, that great hymn writer, in 1719 penned these words to Joy to the World that we sing so often, right? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. And look at that one. Let every heart prepare him room. You might want to circle that word, prepare. There's one word I want you to get today, prepare. Can you say that? Prepare. I just want to make sure you're all awake, that you don't have the tryptophan going in your system and you're like, I ate too much, which some say that's actually a myth. So if you search it out, some say it is a myth, some say it's not. Generally, it's just because you ate just too much food and it just slows us down. But we got to prepare. We got to get ready for the celebration of Christmas. So how do we do that? How do we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christmas? Besides all the physical preparation, the presents, the decoration, the travel, the parties, the food, all that stuff, how do we actually prepare ourselves for Christmas? We do it by doing this. We prepare for Christmas by making room for Christ. That's what I want you to get this morning. That we prepare for Christmas. We prepare for celebrating the Christmas, the Christian Christ event. We prepare ourselves by making room for Christmas. By making room for Christ. Anne Voskamp puts it this way. She says, we're ready for Christmas not when we have all the gifts, but we are ready for Christ. We're ready for Christmas, not when we have all the gifts, but when we're ready for Christ, when we're ready to give all of ourselves to Christ. In other words, making room for Christ of Christmas, making room for Jesus, is more than just a physical thing. It is a relational thing. It involves both space and spirit. It involves what we do and who we are, that we've got to make the choice to prepare ourselves for Christmas. Because I don't want Christmas to just breeze on by for you this year. I don't want you to get to the end of December and go, thank you, God, that it is done. But I want us, that our preparation and our anticipation of the revelation of the incarnation as the celebration of Jesus just builds every single week. Honestly, to the point where the people around us are going, what is up with you? Because you are filled with joy, you're filled with anticipation, you're filled with excitement that Christmas is coming. Some of you need to loosen up. Put on the sparkly necklaces and the ugly Christmas sweaters and, you know, that kind of stuff that's going to help move you into that place. So how do we prepare for Christmas? Three things I want to point out to you this morning. Three big ideas. We prepare for Christmas by taking time to experience Christ. By taking time to experience Christ. Here's the deal. You are making decisions right now, today, this week, and in the coming days, how you're going to celebrate Christmas. You are making decisions about what you're going to do, where you're going to go, how much you're going to spend, the plans that you're going to... You're making all those decisions right now for what Christmas is going to be like for you. And my prayer is that the refrain of the words of the innkeeper of no room would not be the refrain of your life. But the refrain of your life instead would be, let your roots go down into him and let your lives be built on him, Jesus. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and that you will overflow with thankfulness. I heard this expression a couple weeks ago that we as believers in Jesus shouldn't just be full of thanksgiving, we should be full of thanks living. That our lives should just epitomize what it means to be thankful to God. And so we prepare for Christmas by taking time to experience Christ. So what does that look like? What does that practically look like for us? If the people of God in Isaiah's time had to prepare the way by flattening out the hills and filling in the valleys and straightening the curves and smoothing off the roads, if today people getting ready for the present have to get here ahead of time, set up the phone lines, determine the route, get the vehicles in place, have all the contingencies, all those kinds of things, what do we as the people of God need to do to make ready for the celebration of our King? The King above all kings. God himself, Jesus. How do we do that? You might need to have some things that you need to add. There might be some things that you need to add. And I'm not talking about shopping. But maybe there's some things that you need to add, like some quiet time built into your day. Some time at the beginning to just read through the Christmas story. You might just open the book of Luke or Matthew that tell us the story of the coming of Jesus, and every day just read Luke 1 and 2. That you just immerse yourself in the Christmas story as kind of that check where you're like, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the most important thing. I'm just going to remember the Christmas story. Maybe that's something that you need to add. Maybe you need to add some space to have more family time. Maybe you've been working too much. And maybe you just need to say, you know, I need to carve out some space so that I'm with my family more. Maybe it's carving out some time for friends. Maybe it's carving out a special trip. That maybe there's just some things that you can add to your life that don't increase the chaoticness or the craziness, but add stability, that add familiarity, that add meaning to your life. Or secondly, are there things that you need to eliminate? Is there stuff that you just need to jettison from your life right now? Are there some things that are a hindrance for you in your relationship with God and in celebrating the Christmas season? Like, do you go overboard with Christmas decorations? Maybe you need to be more of a minimalist. Are there some things that you need to eliminate? Like, I've signed up for too many things. I'm going too many places. I feel like I'm just literally going here and here and here and here and here. Well, you have this thing called the power of no. You can't be all things to all people. So choose your relationships. Choose the priorities in your life, which really leads to the next one. Are there things that you need to prioritize? Or maybe I should have rewritten that to say, maybe there are some things that you need to reprioritize. Maybe you're getting a lot of C things done, but no A and B things. Maybe the priority of Christmas is some traditions and some celebrations that you just need to begin to add those into your family. Like one of the things that we do, we're going to go do it tonight, super excited, is the lights in Charlestown. We love doing that, and I'm super excited because it's not like freezing cold tonight, as it's been in the past where we go and we're like, okay, you guys ready to go? Yeah, let's get back in the van. But now we get to go and we get to do this, and it's going to be a fun night too because Jenny's brother and his sons are in from out of town, and so it's going to be a cool family time for us. We get to go and experience the lights. So are there some things that you need to add, or there's some things that you need to eliminate, or some things that you need to prioritize? Like saying, you know what, one of the things I'm really going to work hard in December is to say, I'm going to keep Christ in Christmas, but worship is going to be a real priority for me. If I got family coming in from out of town, I was having a conversation with somebody earlier this morning, and I said, invite them to church with you. You know, make that kind of the standard. You know, when the cousins and the friends and people come into town, and you know, it's often easier to be like, okay, well, we'll get up and do breakfast and we'll do those things. Well, maybe one of the things that you really share with your friends or your family members who come in from out of town is like, hey, we go to church on Sunday morning. So We want you to come with us. If you don't, we'll see you in about an hour and a half. Because then we're showing people and telling people what the real priority in our life is. So one of the things that we need to do to prepare for Christmas is take time to experience Christ. Again, what are some things you add? What are some things that you need to eliminate? What are some of the things that you prioritize so that you don't say no room? That you literally can echo the words, come, Lord Jesus. Come and let me celebrate you. You heard the phrase before, the celebrate the true meaning of the season. I think, unfortunately, even we as followers of Jesus put a whole lot more lip service to that than real activity. They say, are we really celebrating the reason for the season? Because it is about Jesus. So, preparation for Christmas, by taking time to experience Christ. Number two, by taking time to share Christ. By telling others the good news. 1 Corinthians 9:23, the Apostle Paul says, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing. What would our world look like if that became all of our motto? If all of us collectively would say, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing. Like, when was the last time you invited a coworker to church? When was the last time you had a spiritual conversation with people that you work with or you go to school with or that you're in relationship with? When was the last time you shared your faith with somebody? And it doesn't mean that you have to sit down and lay out everything from Genesis to Revelation and fill in all the blanks and overwhelm. Maybe it is that you begin taking steps to share your faith, make your faith be this living thing that is spread out and reverbs in all the relationships of your life. What would it look like if really everything that we did to spread the news, the good news, and to share in its blessing? I believe the face of our world would be changed. Practically, okay? Let's unpack that. Practically, how does that work out? How do we share Christ with others? Are there people that you need to forgive? Are there relationships in your life that have been so fractured and so broken that are there places in your life that you just need to extend or to receive forgiveness? And notice I said both. Because we need to be people who are radical extenders of grace as well as radically accepting grace from other people. It doesn't mean that we have to blow through boundaries and put ourselves in difficult and horrible situations over and over and over again. But we've got to be people who extravagantly extend grace so that we point people to Jesus. I mean, Jesus lifts this up so far to say in the Gospels, if you don't forgive someone, then your Heavenly Father's not going to forgive you. That we forgive as we have been forgiven. Again, that doesn't mean that we're like a doormat and say, okay, just like do it again. But we're healthy people. We set ourselves in healthy relationships. But how many of us this Christmas are harboring this sense of an unforgiven spirit or this place of brokenness with a relationship? Practically, one of the things that you can do to share Christ is to extend forgiveness. Or second one, are there people you need to love? Practically. Like, we have all been in work situations. We have all been in relationships and clubs and places where we are surrounded by people who they're just, can we just say it this way? They're just really hard to love. But when we look in the mirror to realize that there are times and situations and seasons when we're really hard to love too, maybe one of the ways that we begin extending Christ to people is to just love others. I mean, Jesus lifted it so high that when the disciples said, hey Jesus, like, what's the greatest commandment of all? What's like the top one? Let's just go for the top one. It's two, but it's actually one. The connection that we see in the Greek is that it's actually one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The and is a connector making them both one. So are there people in your life that you just need to extend love to? And again, we don't have time to expand all that that looks like, because it doesn't mean that we still don't respect boundaries. It doesn't mean that we're still not trying to be healthy people. But are there just people that we need to go the extra mile to love? I'm sure that we all have those people in our lives. Or the third one, are there people you need to invite? Again, I mentioned that just a minute ago, but like, are there people that are your neighbors, that they go to school with your kids? Are there people that you're in the same club with? Are there people that you work with that you either know or you're pretty certain, which can actually be a scary thing because often our assumptions can be wrong, that they don't have a relationship with God, that you just need to invite? Studies tell us between 75 and 85% of people are just waiting to come to church because they need to be invited by somebody. And the statistics actually tell us that the response rate is pretty high, that people will actually come. But see, here's what they got to see. They got to see that it's a priority for you. They got to see that it's important for you. They got to see that you're in a relationship with them. Because the best way that we share Christ with others is one-on-one relationships with people that we have significant relationships with already. So one of the ways that we get to get ready for Christmas, both ourselves and others, to prepare others for Christmas is by inviting them to come and experience the Christ event. Come and put Jesus back into Christmas. Come and hear the story of what God did 2,000 years ago, which is the whole reason why we celebrate this season in the first place. Hear the story. Put feet to your faith and a voice to your mouth and hands to this relationship. So we get ready for Christ, for Christmas, by both taking time to experience Christ and by taking time to share Christ. But we also, number three, by taking time to serve Christ. By taking time to serve Christ. I love this passage from Colossians 3, 23 through 24. It sets the bar like so high. But I'm actually glad that God's word sets the bar really high, because there's a lot of us who we just like, tell me what's needed. And we just get to that, right? Like, what's the bottom? What's the thing? What's the one thing I need to do? It's kind of like somebody said to the Apostle Paul, okay, so what's the one thing that you got to do? What's the one thing that you got to do? And he writes this: work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Stop. Did you hear that? Like, even when you hate your job, even when your boss makes working there horrible, even when the people that you work with are chatty, gossipy kind of people, you don't have to be pulled down by them. Not really. Yeah, they can make it hard. You might be First Thessalonians says we pray without ceasing. Some of you are in those situations where like you feel like all you're doing is praying. Because if you're not praying, you're going to be killing, right? But if you work diligently at this, if you work willingly at whatever you do, as if you were working for the Lord rather than people, it will change. It might not change your environment, but it'll sure change you. And he says, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Your master is not your boss. Your master is Jesus. And he says, like, there's a reward in here. Now, he does not tell us what that is, which is a really good thing, I think. Because then we'd be going, okay, so like, what's the reward? He said, no, there's just a reward there. See, my guess is he says that as kind of the carrot. Because by the time we get to this relationship with Jesus thing, like, he is the only reward that we need. And so what if in our work and in our, what if everything that we did, we were like serving like Jesus? He says, I came to serve. Do we come to serve? Do we come to put other people first? Do we come to give our best? Do we as the people of God, do Is there something about our work ethic? Is there something about our workfulness? Is there something about the joyfulness with which we do our work, of how we serve, that it's different than the people around us? Should be. It really should. And so, how do we take time to serve Christ? Three simple questions. Are there places you need to give? And I'm not just talking financial resources. Are there some places that you need to give of yourself? Are there some places that you need to serve? Are there some people that need your help? One of the things that we are doing through Kids Point this month, for the month of December, if you have kids in Kids Point, they're getting this little green piece of paper today in Kids Point. But if you want one, we can give you these as you leave today. Kids Point is doing a service project this December to just give. And here's what they're doing. Kids Point is collecting items for New Albany High School and would appreciate each child bringing in an item over the next few weeks. There's things like some food, some toothpaste, some deodorant. So I want to lift somebody before you, and she's probably going to be embarrassed that I do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. Jill Anderson's a member of our church. She's a teacher at New Albany High School. She's in our Disciple 4 Bible study. And Jill Anderson is one of those people who's really seeking to put her faith out there. In her class, and she has some what's the right word? Difficult students in her class. Is that a good way? Where is she? Is that a good way to put that? I want to make sure I say it. Some difficult students in her class, that they know that she has a cabinet in her class that, like, if you don't have deodorant, and it's high school, what do we know about high school boys? They need deodorant, right? Girls do too, by the way. Don't overshare. Toothpaste. There are high school kids that don't have toothpaste and toothbrushes. Or if she knows that, like, if some of the kids, they don't have food, they can stop by her cabinet and they can get some stuff to go home with them. So maybe there's some places that you need to give. What would it be like if next week, December 3rd, it's peanut butter, pasta sauce, and pasta noodles? Could you imagine what it'd be like if we would just inundate Jill with peanut butter, pasta sauce, and pasta noodles? Do you know how cheap that is? We could all do that, right? The second week is cereal, crackers, peanut butter crackers, granola. We'll hand these out to you. I think it'd be a cool thing that if we just do that, if we just give. We don't know where it goes, except it's going to her class. And I can tell you the stories that she has shared. She's going to be one of those people that when she gets to heaven, there's going to be these people that come up to her and say, "Mrs. Anderson, I'm here because of how you treated me." Because she's just a giver. She's just a giver. And I'm so grateful for people like her. So are there places that you need to give? Kind of hand in hand with that, are there people you need to help? It might be a financial help. It might be a relational help. It might be a spiritual help. It might be a temporal help. It might be a physical help. Are there just some people that you can help? You know, one of the simple ways that we can do that is when we're even shopping. Do we hold the door for people? Do we maybe not park in the closest spot, but we go a little bit further out? Are there some people that we can just help just because we want to do that? Every month, we have a group that goes to the Wayside Christian Mission over in Louisville. They provide nachos and show a movie and just the simple thing for the people who are homeless, who have like a couple hours of like some peace in their life. And could we help with that? Or we got a group that goes to the Kindred Wedgwood Nursing Home and just sings songs and talks to the folks who are there. Could we do that? What are some other ways that we can just help? Y'all, you responded so incredibly to our Ecuador Christmas Angel program. Over here under this tree, there are just oodles and oodles of presents. And some of you weren't able to buy presents, but you gave money. And we've got a group. We got 10 churches coming together that are going to Ecuador the first part of December as both an evangelistic and a medical mission team. And they're going to offer the opportunity to give these kids Christmas presents and for these kids to get presents for their families who would never have Christmas presents. That's one of the ways that we get to help. And that's so simple. And so I, of course, want to say, as your pastor, thank you so much. There are so many things over here. And again, we've got lots of folks who have given some money, and it's, I don't even know where they're going to put all this stuff. But I can just, you know what it's like for the people in your part of the world when they open those Christmas presents in the morning? And most of us, our kids get multiple presents. Do you know what happens on the face of these kids when they get a present? When they usually don't even get one? It will change your perspective. And so are there other things, are there other ways that you can just help? Are there people in your community, in your workplace, people that you can help? Do you know somebody that's had a particularly difficult time that maybe you can just help? Take them to lunch? Do something? Or number three, and that's kind of the third one, are there just things you need to do? Are there just places where the Holy Spirit is inside you going, go, do, move, give, talk, share, experience, whatever it is. Are there just some things that you need to do? Like call somebody that you know is having a tough time and just take them out for coffee. Make that phone call that you feel like in the back of your head, the Holy Spirit's been saying, like, call her or call him to reach out to do something. Do you like open your closet and go, oh my goodness, do I have a bunch of stuff? Do you need to axe some excess from your life? Do you have like so many coats that it's really tough for you on any given day? Go, which one am I going to wear today? There are kids in our community and in the greater southern Indiana area who don't have coats. Maybe there's just things that you get to do. Here's my point. We prepare for Christmas by being intentional about it. We prepare for Christmas so that it's not just a drive-by. We prepare for Christmas so we get to fully experience the Christ of Christmas. And we fully experience the Christ of Christmas by taking the time to experience Christ, by taking the time to share Christ, and by taking the time to serve Christ. In other words, we prepare for Christmas by making room for Christ. So here's what I want you to do. I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. We're going to pray. And I want to invite you to just ask God, what is it? Three words. What is it? What is it, God, that I need to do to prepare for Christmas? What is it that I need to do to get ready for Christmas?